and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn Mack, and welcome to Monday. Now, when have you heard people say that? After the long, long holiday weekend, I hope that everyone had a great 4th and a great, enjoyable, relaxed and restful weekend, and it made getting up and heading back to work or wherever you were heading off to today not quite so bad this morning. It has been a great day for me. And, you know, this is a great Monday because our guest tonight, I'm so excited about. I'm a personal fan of, as many of you are. And it's just such an honor to bring her to you. To give you a little bit of background on her, she is a 2-time Emmy Award winner. She is best known for her roles on All My Children and As the World Turns. She has just completed shooting on her directorial debut, a short film she also wrote and produced called Flip Fantasia. And last year she worked as an associate producer on the Festival Award-winning film How We Got Away With It. She is thrilled to be currently creating some of her Susie Effing Homemaker videos, which you may have seen for Prospect Park. She has worked extensively in film, nighttime television, and theater, and has been featured in multiple newspapers and magazine publications. We are so proud and honored to welcome Katie McLean. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, fabulous. Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Well, it is just such an honor to have you with us. Thank you so much for being our special guest this evening.
My pleasure.
Well, I want to kind of start off because I think it's only appropriate to congratulate you right off the bat on the early success of the relaunch of All My Children. I mean, this has been absolutely phenomenal and amazing how well received it has been.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy for the show and for Agnes and for the tradition of the show, for the legacy of the show. It's a beautiful show, and it's brought a lot of entertainment and enjoyment, and I think a lot of personal moments for people throughout the last 40 years, and I'm really happy that it's going to be able to continue on and feel very blessed to have been asked to have been a part of it this go-round.
Oh, yeah. I know, like so many people out there, are just thrilled that you're back, you know, with the show. And now I have to give you a little backstory on my personal experience with the show. Mm-hmm. I became a fan of yours initially when you were on As the World Turns. And so, you know, kind of grew up in that generational mode of soap opera watching, you know, with my mom and my grandmother, and they were all diehard CBS. And so that's kind of where I first came to know you. And so it wasn't until this relaunch of AMC that I started watching it. And I'm telling you, I am so hooked on that show. I can't stop watching. It is awesome. And I've had to sit and go, wow, look at all I missed all these years, you know, not tuning in because, you know, just the generational thing. So it is, you've got a new fan in me. I love the show and I love the characters. And you can, you know, even though I'm not fully caught up on the backstory to the many families and the storylines that have led up to now, it's amazing how steeped in history the show has. And it's easy to understand why so many fans love it.
Yeah, and I think also there's a, just like all the soaps, you know, every family tended to pick their network, although uh-huh. some bridged several networks, but you know, they would watch, you know, straight through, you know, Price is Right, Guiding Light, mm-hmm. As the World Turns, you know, have
yeah.
it on during the day. It was like, you know, it was a part of your life, you know, that network television, daytime television. And you know, now is a really interesting time because, as you know, the show is online. And
mm-hmm.
It's not quite the same experience as the soaps have traditionally been in terms of, you know, being passed down as a, you know, you just turn on the TV and, you know, what's grandma watching, what's your aunt watching, what's your mom
mm-hmm.
watching, and you get pulled into it that way. It's a little bit more intimate and it has to be shared virally. you know, but this is the world that we're in now, and I think that it was really brave and Prosper Park to choose a show, and smart to choose a show that has these sort of traditional family roots to sort of launch their online presence with.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I have hoped for is, you know, what Prospect Park has done, I mean, was brave, courageous. It was such a, you know, I mean, it was a huge leap. But you're right. I mean, the way things have evolved, most things are online now. People are gravitating more and more to online for viewing any and everything. And then, you know, you have the smartphone, the iPad, the tablets, the whole nine yards. And what they've done has just been brilliant, and it's given me hope for other lost folks that went off air, you know, to maybe at some point, you know, those folks will sit up and take notice and realize the success of Prospect Park and All My Children Would Like to Live and say, you know, they're onto something, and give, you know, state fans from all folks that opportunity.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if Procter & Gamble, who owns Guiding Light and As the World Turns, if they weren't keeping a very keen eye on the numbers and the audience response. I think it would be a big surprise if they didn't think that, because, I mean, the bottom line for them, it's an investment and a business decision, and, you know, if it's good business for them, then it's something that they would reconsider. You know, it's hard. I think it's hard for those of us who feel attached to the shows in a personal way to kind of hear that kind of cold, hard fact. But it is the way that these decisions get made, I'm afraid. But I mean, it's thanks to the fans of All My Children and One Life to Live, you know, and their, you know, very vocal support online and you know, personally and through phone calls and letters and emails. You know, I think their cry for the show to come back and their promise to watch the show if it came back was a huge you know, feather in the cap of Prospect Park when they went about you know raising funds and making the arrangements to bring the show back to the viewing public. So I mean, it's not as if fans don't have a huge impact. They absolutely do.
Well, and one thing I was hoping maybe you could talk a little bit about along these lines is you talk quite extensively about the relaunch and the scheduling changes, you know, that have taken place since on your website, which kind of puts a lot of things to rest for folks. But for those who may not have seen, you know, your post on your website addressing this, what can you share with us about the recent changes? Because I know that when people heard that, you know, Prospect Park was doing scheduling changes for both, you know, shows, it kind of put fear in some folks that, you know, some things were going to happen or not happen. And what can you say to that at least you can say?
You mean scheduling changes in terms of how the show is viewed now? Like, I know they went recently. You know, first it was 4 days a week, and then it was 2 days a week, and then now they're showing everything. They're just uploading everything on Monday. You know, all I can say is that this is like the wild, wild west. And, you know, online original programming of a show that used to be attached to a network, you know, it has to find its legs. It's just not the same as network television in the way that it works online. You know, every viewer is important, every click is important, every like is important, and so I think they're trying to give the audience every chance to see the show. You know, some mm-hmm. people are busy on Mondays, some people are busy on Tuesdays. You know, if you know, I think Jeff Quatnis coined the phrase, "It's not daytime, it's anytime." And I think mm-hmm. that's just something that the viewers now need to kind of wrap their head around and say, wait a minute, I feel like watching my soap. I think I can watch it right now because mm-hmm. it's a new week. I haven't seen the episodes this week, and I can watch them all, or I can watch, you know, one or whatever I have time for. And so it really is, I think they're trying to make adjustments for the viewer's schedule. I really do. And I think it's smart. I mean, it's just, you know, just I think a lot of people, too, who watch television, you know, we DVR stuff, we, you know, we watch it on Netflix, you know, or we, you know, record it somehow through our televisions, and we don't always really watch, you know, Tuesday night at 8. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just we don't run to the television because we have options. And so, of course, you know, the business has to make adjustments for all the options that people have these days.
Mm-hmm. And you make a great point, and that is, you know, it's a matter of people just getting their heads wrapped around the concept that their favorite daytime serial, which was once only daytime, can now be anytime and can be viewed online like anything else can be viewed online at their leisure anytime they want. And, you know, and when you think about it like that, I mean, it really is all about the viewer and the convenience factor for the viewer to be able to see it at any given moment and see it again and again and again. You know, that is the beauty of it that, you know, traditional daytime serials didn't have. I mean, if you weren't sitting in front of your television at a set time every day during the week, oh, well, you know, you didn't have the opportunity to go back in the day online and watch it later that evening. Or, I mean, if you missed it, you missed it. You know, this is great. And so I think once more and more viewers catch on to the concept that it's really a great, brilliant move on the part of Prospect Park, it's going to be a phenomenal success beyond what it is.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, one of the things, though, that I think is difficult is because watching a soap for so many people was a ritual. You know, 1 o'clock mm-hmm. on, you know, Monday through Friday was their moment in the day that they could, they knew that the show was going to meet them. And so this is like asking people to create their own ritual and say in their own life, okay, 1 o'clock is my time. And I know mm-hmm. it may be available. It's waiting for me whenever I want. But, you know, so that's, you know, but I can sit down and watch at the same ritualistic time and still have my ritual if I want it. Or I could change my ritual. It's just sort of mm-hmm. weird, though, in terms of things that are ritualistic. You know, when one yeah. element of that ritual changes, it can really kind of throw people off their game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it, like you said, it's just an adjustment period, and it has everything to do with the Internet and how it is just creates all these possibilities for us.
Definitely so. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your character because, you know, now that Prospect Park, everything's been relaunched, it's online, and, you know, and Prospect Park has this latitude now that, you know, you didn't necessarily have in, you know, daytime television, network television. And do you feel that the writers have given your character, you know, added depth, you know, given that now All My Children is on the Internet and Prospect Park has some flexibility more so than ever before?
Well, I think they have, I mean, generally across the board, certainly try to explore themes and issues that are a bit, I guess the word is racier.
Mm-hmm.
And my character has only been involved in that to a slight degree, in that I'm in the Cassandra storyline as her therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is pretty intense, you know. It's sometimes hard to watch
oh, yeah.
because her suffering is so poignant and it is so timely. And, you know, when you consider that is actually happening to young women all over the world, it's really tragic and, you know, painful to watch. But at the same time, you know, they're being very brave to tell a story like that, and I think they're giving the viewers the benefit of the doubt that they can handle and that kind of material, and balancing it very well, I think, with other kind of, you know, lighter material and stuff that's a little bit more fun and or silly or, you know, romantic. It really is a balancing act, and you know, with soaps, with these kinds of stories.
I know the swearing issue was something that was something that was big, and you know, it was kind of split down the middle. You know, there were a lot of people that really, really hated it and felt like it was being overdone, and then there were a lot of people who didn't mind it, thought it was kind of fun and neat to see. So I think it's one of those tough calls. I truly believe that their heart is in the right place. I can't speak for the production company. I'm really, you know, just an actor kind of watching all of this, just like the viewers. You know, my only kind of insight is that I'm actually there, you know, when people are sweating these decisions to some degree, mm-hmm. you know, or hearing about it and all of us kind of hearing it first and going, really? Oh, my God. But, okay.
But, you know, if you think about it, you know, if you go most places online, you know, if you go to YouTube and you watch a serial drama there or, you know, a short webcast or a series or something, you know, because there's no guidelines or no restrictions on language and everything, I mean, for me personally, it didn't offend me. It didn't bother me because you go to any R-rated movie, you're going to hear much worse, as most people will attest to. And so, but I think the fact that because all my children, I mean, I don't think it's just all my children. I think it's any soap that, you know, as in All My Children, One Life to Live, that was originally on network television and you never heard anything beyond the very minimal, and then it goes to online. That was a new thing, I think, that viewers, fans of the show, had to get used to because it was not something that was part of the makeup of the shows of the past. So it's just, again, another one of those because it's on the Internet kind of things. Let's just see what we can do with it. Can the audience handle it? And, you know, I applaud Prospect Park and the writers and the entire production team for really, really, you know, taking note of what the fans are saying and really, you know, taking into account how this is affecting the fans and what's not affecting them. It really lets us know that, you know, they not only care about the shows, but they care about the fans' response to the shows because, you know, that's the whole point. And it's been great to see how that's all evolved.
Absolutely. I mean, I think first and foremost, they care about the fans. I mean, it's we all make this show to some degree, you know, for you, for the viewer. Mm-hmm. It's storytelling, but, you know, of course we want you to be affected, to be reached. You know, it's sort of like the bottom line of any kind of storytelling. We're trying to communicate with others, and you know, it's that's the beautiful thing about storytelling. You know, we care, and if you don't care about your audience, then you know, I don't know. You're either extremely confident, or in my personal opinion, you know, opinion, kind of arrogant and obnoxious, and you know, and that is definitely not the case here. You know, they care very, very much about the viewers, mm-hmm. and want them to enjoy the show and, you know, want them to feel connected with the characters and to have fun and to have a good experience. And, you know, I mean, in terms of boundary pushing, it's, you know, like you said, like you weren't made uncomfortable. Some people were, you know, it's one of those tough calls. Like, what is that line? And I also think it is about evolution of the form, you know, the form, any kind of evolution of a form has to happen slowly, because if it happens overnight, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, the palm tree just turned into a building. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
Happened? I can't take it. I really am overwhelmed with this change. You know, but if it slowly evolves into that, then, you know, okay, it was headed in that direction. We can go with that. That's
mm-hmm.
okay. You know, because things do grow
mm-hmm.
change,
very
right?
much so.
Right?
It's
know?
Not shell shock. That's right. It's a gradual exactly. acceptance, you know, and everybody
exactly.
handles it very well. Now,
exactly.
speaking of swearing and cursing, I have to talk to you about Susie Effin Homemaker. Because, I mean, let's chat for a moment about her. I mean, fans love her. From what I've seen, she's been very well received. And you have done such an incredible job with this character. And talk a little bit about how Susie was born.
Well, I was cleaning my house, and I was doing the dishes. I'm a very domestic person. I cook, I clean, you know, and make dinner. We watch the news at 6:30 every night. It's very old school in a way. And I was doing the dishes and looking out the window and thinking, oh, my God, I'm Susie effing homemaker. Just popped into my head. And because I, you know, here I am, cleaning and cooking and washing and all this stuff. And then I thought, that's kind of funny. I wonder if I could make a character out of that. And really, I had to give myself like two strong bolts of vodka before I sat down in front of the computer to be brave enough to do it and be like, I was like, okay, Katie, you don't have to put it up. Just do it. You don't have to put it out there. Just try it. And I don't know why I thought of the red hair and everything. And then she just came out of me, this kind of character. It just sort of spontaneously created itself. And then I started to make myself laugh, and I realized, oh, I think we might have something here.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I just did it because I hadn't been acting very much. I felt like playing a character. I wanted to do something that amused me. And that's where she came from, you know. Lived in New York for 25 years. You know, had a lot of that all around me, all the time, you know. So, yeah, that's, you know, and I love being Susie. I mean, I love letting her out of me. It's fun. And I'm really thrilled that it should be coming out, if not today, tomorrow, or the next day, very soon, the first of a series of videos that I did in collaboration with Prospect Park. I'm really happy about how these are coming out, and you know, so those will be fun. Those will be fun, and I apologize to the people that are offended by the F word. I that's why I always bleep it out. She doesn't, you know. She's just my theory about Susie is that she really is not trying. She's just not aware. You know, she's no concept that she might be offending anybody, and. She truly believes she's trying to help people and just tell it to them straight, and if that's what they need to know, because that's what, of course, you would want to know that.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Well, you know, the thing about it, if no one knew that that was you portraying that character, she is believable. I mean, you just forget that it is you portraying the character. I mean, Susie could be the neighbor down the street who's just trying to say, now, look, here's what you do. You go to Hulu. It's really just simple, you know, and right. you get sucked in. I mean, when I saw the video, I was like, oh, my gosh, I was rolling out of my chair. It was hilarious, and I was like, you know, I really hope she does more with this. And then I heard that, you know, it was going to be incorporated in Prospect Park, and I was like, oh, this is great. Because I've read, you know, some comments and seen some things on social media where people have said, you know, I wonder if this is going to be a web series. I wonder if she's going to become a new character on All My Children. And, I mean, where would you like to see – Susie go from here?
To be honest with you, I really just enjoy doing it in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy just doing it in my home and making people laugh. I mean, I think part of my favorite thing that I did was when people would send in questions, you know, to the to my Facebook site. There's a Susie Facebook site, and when people send in questions there, I mean, I keep them anonymous, you know, but I use them in like a Q&A, like a Dear Abby type of thing. And
mm-hmm.
that is always something great comes out of that. That's just a blast. It's just a blast. So I hope that kind of continues on a little bit. That'd be fun.
Well, I thought it was funny just now when you said, I really just enjoy doing this out of my home, because I mean, my gosh, it would kind of defeat the purpose that Susie Homemaker could not make her videos at home. I mean, really, you know?
Yeah.
So,
she goes
it kind of be an oxymoron times 10, you know? But, yeah, I mean, well, right. It's really great what you've done, because it does showcase, you know, your extensive talent as an actor and just off the hip, you know, just this was born of just kind of a thought of, I'm Susie effing Homemaker. I mean, this is so cool, the backstory to this. So, well, we look forward to the videos and the next day or two, you know, to be able to see those coming out. And how fun will that be? So, she's going to be a star, I have a feeling, whether she wants to be or not, just because fans just love you and they love this, so it's a great concept.
Thank you. They'll be on the, I'm sorry, they'll be on the TOLN YouTube site. So if you go to the TOLN Soaps YouTube, they'll start airing there this week, I believe.
Oh, great. Okay, perfect. Well, I want to congratulate you on your directorial debut of your short film that just wrapped, that you wrote and produced, called Flip Fantasia. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
If you can, without giving too much away, tell us what the film is about.
Well, you know, it's funny. I feel like I can talk about the film in depth because it is, you know, going to see any kind of film or even watching something like this online, this is a very visual experience. This is intensely detailed work. I felt like every shot that we put together was like a painting, and it's meant to be that way. It's meant to be, like, visually rich and beautiful. The story, and full of, like, little secret clues, too, which are, you know, there's a lot of themes, a lot of layers. The story is about, I say it's about four guys and a dead girl. And it's really about, thematically about love, about having to face something painful and dealing with it through denial, and then finally dealing with it through ritual and friendship. It's about growing up, about sort of an end of a certain period of innocence and how to, you know, how to bridge that gap from childhood to adulthood and what you can hold on to help you make that kind of transition. I deeply believe that the creative life is something that can help people get through just about anything in life. It's certainly been there for me. So on more nuts and bolts sort of level, it's four friends, one of whom has a girlfriend, and she is just, it seems like she's passed out, but in fact she's died from alcohol poisoning. They've all been partying all night. It's first thing in the morning. And they don't really realize it, that she's in fact dead. And then, of course, how they go about dealing with it. It really just takes place in about a 36-hour period of time, so she's not, like, you know, rotting away in front of anybody. She's just dead. And and it's a comedy, believe it or not. It's some people say, oh, Weekend at Bernie's, and believe it or not, I've never seen that film. I wrote it before I saw Warm Bodies, but when I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, there's a little bit of that there. You know, there's homages to La Femme Nikita, to Apocalypse Now, which seems really strange, but I think that that film had an enormous amount to say about male friendship and love. And I don't know, I just feel so, it was really one of the greatest experiences of my life, being the director and shooting that with these young people. And I feel so incredibly blessed to have been able to rise to the occasion and hopefully, I think, give something to the audience that will help them ultimately, you know, because everyone experiences death and everybody deals with it differently. But I think I always try in any kind of work that I do to keep hope alive, you know, and to keep the idea that, you know, this is a beautiful world, you know, even though we have to go through things that are incredibly heartbreaking and sometimes devastating to us as people. There are ways to keep that love of life alive, and so that's all throughout this movie as well.
And where can fans see the movie? When will it be available? And
That I don't have an exact answer to. I mean, I'm just about to go into the editing process. But I really believe in, you know, I love letting people into the conversation, into the movie making process,
because I think it seems like such a mystery. You know, I certainly thought it was like, oh, I'll never be a film director. Please, that's way beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I thought maybe I could do some, like, small theater or something like that. But then, like, 2 feet got behind me and pushed, and I went, oh, God, I guess I could.
Well, now, you know, you're being awful modest, but, you know, we all know that this was not your first time producing, at least. You worked on the award-winning film, How We Got Away With It, last year. And, I mean, talk about your experience producing on that project, because that was, you know, that had to have been quite, you know, an experience, no doubt, with, you know, with who you were working with and the project itself. It just received so much acclaim, you know, for its huge success.
You know, it's a wonderful film, and really all the benefits and the praise should go to John Lindstrom, my boyfriend and fiancé and partner in life. And he really just killed himself to make that movie what it is. And, you know, I played a small part in terms of, you know, being 2 feet behind him, and also taking care of some of the nuts and bolts of stuff that was just, you know, paperwork, pain in the butt stuff that had to be done,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, organizing stuff, you know, anything from collecting actors' bios to helping organize the festival submission process, and, you know, being a sounding board for everything from, you know, one kind of edit to another. But I did learn a lot in that process, and I, you know, it's funny, I kind of think two things, you know. If you have been involved in any kind of creative work, whether you've been a painter, or, like, I've made an album, I've written a book, I've written poetry books and published them, I'm, you know, working on All My Children all these years, which is sort of like this endless ongoing production, you know. Once you kind of are, if you do any of that, or, believe it or not, and I really truly believe this, if you have bought, created a home and sold that home, you probably know how to do movie production. Believe it or not, it's very similar, you know. You make a huge investment, you work really hard to make it beautiful, and then you have to work really hard to let it go. And it's a very similar kind of set of tools. A lot of paperwork, a lot of details, a lot of taking care of all those things, you know, like the gutters. Oh, I forgot to put gutters on the house. How to do that? The furnace needs to be replaced. I mean, all that same thing is like, oh, I forgot to get this contract out. I forgot to, oh, we need a new camera battery because that's gone out. It's really very similar. It's not a mystery, the nuts and bolts of doing this sort of thing. And if you have the one thing about the movie business that I will say, though, is it takes an enormous, it's just like selling a house, frankly, it takes an enormous, unless you're lucky, enormous amount of patience. Enormous amount of patience. And like people skills and, you know, I mean, I slept about 3 to 5. 5 hours was a big night. If I slept 5 hours a night, I was like, yeah, I am sleeping. But it was usually closer to 3.
Well, I mean, you are just so multi-talented. You've done so many wonderful things, and, I mean, in so many different ways and genres, and it's, you know, and that's why fans love you so much. I mean, you're so multifaceted, and you just always give us some great entertainment no matter what you're doing. And now, you know, we'll get to see this new project, you know, the other side of what you can do, the directing, producing, writing aspect. And it's, can't wait to see that come out, you know, and see what that's going to be about, because the backstory of that just sounds incredible and very interesting.
I think many will enjoy.
For sure.
I hope so.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I hope so. I really do. I feel very passionately about this little film. And in terms of people seeing it, our timeline, you know, I
I have two options. You know, I can go the festival circuit or I can just go straight to distribution. And I think I'll know more about that once I finish editing, which will be probably, you know, it'll be put together by the middle of August. So I should know in the next 6 weeks which direction it'll go.
That's just around the corner too, you realize. I mean, the way the year is flying by, I mean, in the summer in particular, it's just, it will be here before you know it, and then we'll all know what route and where to look for it. That's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
We have a couple minutes left. Do you have time to take a call?
Of course.
Okay. All right. I believe we have Enrique on. Hello, Enrique?
Oh, hello. Hey, Katie.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just finished seeing the. I just finished been watching All My Children today.
That's
just now.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And I'd say I'm loving Dixie being all in Cassandra's storyline.
Thank you.
And also love the Tad references.
Yeah, wasn't that nice today? I thought that was so
yes.
nice. I was. Very happy, you know. There's no Dixie without a Tad. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I did read that TV Guy article of Michael E. Knight talking about you that now you're feeling how he felt when you died multiple times.
Aw, poor Mikey. Yeah. We keep dying on each other. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Well, at least we know that Tad's still alive, but he's somewhere on the secret little mission.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I hope he comes back. He's such a wonderful actor. It's such a joy to be around.
I also kind of want to see their daughter, Kathy. I'm pretty sure she's probably like around AJ's age by now or a little older.
You'd think, right?
She's probably like in college somewhere out of state.
That could be. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Go to a boarding school.
Yeah, and I would say I'm really excited about the film that you just talked about the kids and the dead girl.
Oh, yeah? That's so good to hear.
Yeah.
What in particular? Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So kind of hoping that like down the line that you could like shadow or direct an episode of All My Children. That would be pretty awesome.
Well, it's definitely been talked about, and it's something that the powers that be are have been encouraging and supporting in me, which is great, and I would love to do that. I love working with the young people, and I love working behind the camera, so it seems like to be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yes. I'll definitely let you know when that comes about. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, you know, Susie is my favorite. All your YouTube videos are my favorite.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoy it. I really hope you like this new one. It's kind of racy, but
I'm okay with the racy
all
stuff.
Good fun.
I'm okay with all the racy stuff.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm so glad to hear that. It's all been in good fun.
Ah, awesome.
Yay.
So also I'm really happy that you guys are back. You guys are back going to be taping next month.
Yes, yeah. In mid-August, we're going to go, you know, get back to work.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what stories you tell.
I know, me too. I think it'll be some good stuff.
It's already good. I really am foreseeing some Emmy noms next year.
Yeah. I think Sal has done such an amazing job with Cassandra, and so has Debbie Morgan and Darnell Williams. Just incredible.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, really been kicking that work out, doing some really good stuff. So I keep my hope for them. You know, I put my vote in for them for sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling. I know we talk a lot on Twitter, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I recognize your name. I'm so glad that you called in. I really appreciate your support, Enrique. It's really awesome that you are as involved as you are. It really means a lot. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I love myself. I grew up on them. My mom showed me showed me that she watched ABC most of her life.
Wow. Aww. That's so awesome. Where's your mom now?
Oh, she is working right now.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Does she still watch?
Oh, yeah. I got her in to watch The New All My Children, and she loves it.
Oh, yay. See, that's so great. Now, does she watch on her computer, or does she watch on yours? You guys watch the app?
She watches on the home computer. I have my laptop. She watches on the home computer.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Oh, that's awesome. Forgive my dog. He's, like, going bananas. My dog's barking in the back.
Yes.
Well, Enrique, thank you so very much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. I was happy to do it.
Yay. All right. Well, you have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye, Enrique. Bye-bye. Oh, that's awesome. He's a great young man. Really lovely guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Twitter is so cool. It's like you really kind of can start these sort of conversations going with people, and you know, you feel like you know them, and hopefully vice versa. You know, it's just really, you know, I love Twitter. It's so cool.
Oh yeah, I know. It's really addicting because you can be, you know, up close and personal in a way like unlike other social mediums. I think it's just really a fun place, you know. I really like it a lot myself.
Yay.
Well, Katie, I can't thank you enough for being our special guest this evening and just taking some time to be with us and talk about all your various projects. It's just so exciting to hear everything you got going on. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. And for everyone who wants to check out Katie's website, it's katiemclean.com. And, of course, you can follow her on Twitter. And I'm sure you'll be keeping us updated when your new movie is going to be out so we can all check it out. And we look very forward
Absolutely.
To that.
Absolutely. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Give our best to John, and take care and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful person, Katie McLean. I have watched her for a long, long time. So glad to be enjoying All My Children now. And the show is just phenomenal. I mean, I have many friends who have been avid, long-time fans of All My Children that tried to tell me, you're going to love the show. It's going to hook you. And believe me, it did. And so now I'm officially an AMC fan and on that same train with all of you. And so, so glad that I got involved with the relaunch. It's just been a great show thus far. Lots of exciting things. The storylines right now are just better than most out there. And just really enjoying the show and how it's kind of taking us on many twists and turns about. So, again, we want to say a huge thank you to Katie McLean for being our very special guest this evening, and also to Enrique, who called in. If you called in and wanted to speak with Katie, we do apologize. We were not able to get your call. We were kind of running over on our time. Technically, we were only going to have her for 30 minutes, so she was gracious enough to stay beyond that, and we do appreciate that so much. And we will probably try to have her back on once her movie is officially out, because I'm sure there'll be lots to tell about that at that time, and then maybe talk less and open up the lines to take more calls. So please never fear, we will try to get to that at a later date. And so now, while I have all of your attention, I want to announce a couple guests we have coming up this week. And one of them in particular, you may not be that familiar with, but the movie that our guest tomorrow night is going to be in, or is in, she has one of the starring roles. She's 10-year-old, and her name is Kyla Deaver. And she is actually in that new summer thriller that's due out in the next week to 10 days, The Conjuring. I've seen previews for that movie, and it nearly freaks me out every time. I have a hard time with horror flicks, and if the previews scare me to death, then I know that the movie is going to be just very scary. She is actually 10 years old, and she has one of the leading roles. She's actually the little girl that you see in the previews. So she will be here tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and she will be talking about the movie and some of the other things that she's involved in. And she's done a lot of really impressive things to be so young already. Quite an extensive little resume there. I think she's going to be someone we are going to be watching grow up as time unfolds on the movie screen. So that's tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then Wednesday, we have our first guest from One Life to Live coming to visit with us and to talk about the show and her character. And at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, we have Miss Melissa Archer from One Life to Live. So hope that you'll make plans to be here for that as well. So that's our big announcement, guys, and hope that you will make plans to be here. We'll be tweeting out about it as a reminder, but hope that you can join us if you can. And again, we want to say a huge thank you tonight for Katie McLean for being our very, very special guest. Appreciate her time so much. And thank you to all of you who joined us. If you're brand new to our program, welcome aboard. We'd love to have you back anytime. And so with that, I will bid you farewell, good night, and we'll be back here at 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow evening. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.